My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
It is essential that our team learns to work with our new recruit, not against him.
I'm a geek, walking down the street.
Check the computer.
The mainframe computer.
I access the mainframe.
At the end of this day, one shall stand, one shall fall.
Time to find out.
Welcome to Basically a Geek Show. Here are your hosts, Mike and Jack.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 25 of Basically a Geek Show.
25. It's like episode 25, and it's got like the head of George Washington because it's a quarter. You get it? And
the back of our quarter is an elk or a moose. I'm not sure which.
No, it's a middle finger in a beer can.
And then the front of it, we just have the queen.
Now, like the Queen of England or the band Queen?
Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and the Dominions across the sea.
Yours does. Mine has fucking Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Queen, bitches!
Freddie Mercury. Better than John Lennon. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
Almost anybody's better than John Lennon. Send your hate mail to basicallyageekshow@gmail.com.
Or just yell at Jack on the forums there, since you now have an account. People can harass you in real time.
Yeah. Now real time harassable. Awesome.
Okay. So, look. Let's not waste any more time here. We got a pretty big bombshell that we need to talk about. All of geekdom, nerddom, nerd culture, whatever you want to call it, we're all talking about a big event that just happened this past weekend. I think we need to just dive right in. 50 Shades of Grey trailer released.
And the trailer... It looks like everything you would expect a 50 Shades of Grey movie to look like.
Now, I've never read 50 Shades of Grey.
I've read a few excerpts here and there. As much as I could stand to read, I guess.
The thing I know about 50 Shades of Grey is that it is BDSM-styled Twilight fan fiction that was turned into a quote-unquote original story when the author just removed the vampire references and changed everybody's names.
And for anyone who is not familiar, if you've been in a blissful vacuum over the last few years and have not heard of this, and you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, my God, that sounds like a pile of ass, you would be absolutely correct. It's just... God damn it, middle schoolers can and have written better. Mm-hmm. 50 Shades of Grey is the most expensive toilet paper you could ever purchase. The movie, the trailer from the movie, I mean, it's this like mysterious guy with an unknown past meets a woman who seems to be unsure of herself and introduces her to the dark world of BDSM. Now, that does it the credit of making it sound sexy and maybe a bit exciting. It's not any
now,
of those things.
Now, I have, like I said, I have not read it, but a friend of ours kind of recalled various, like, lines. So he was just pulling random lines from the book.
Yeah.
And, I've seen kids in high school creative writing classes come up with better lines of dialogue than what was being pulled out of this book by random. This book, like, God help this movie if they're using direct translate, if they're just translating.
Oh, I hope they are.
Like,
I hope
direct
they are.
Dialogue.
It's, I mean, okay. The movie had the aesthetics, like the style of like a Lifetime original movie.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, like you watch this trailer and you're like, this is what a Lifetime original movie would look like if it had a budget.
And probably budget should be used in quotations.
I don't know. They had a helicopter. That probably cost some money.
No, they probably just fucking filmed Donald Trump flying over on a good day. That's probably what fucking happened.
But, yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, that's a thing. I'm so thankful that that will be a movie that I can just pass on.
I'll watch it when I can do so for free, like on, you know, when they air
it
on.
Is this a future bad movie Public Defender?
No, no. This is the future cinema crusade. Most likely. If they're using actual quotes from the movie, though, or from the book, there will be entertainment value in it. Just kind of one of those things where it's like, oh my God, did they just fucking say that? Did an actor actually just have to try to say the lines, whatever, with fucking conviction, with the director yelling, no, you didn't say purple-headed warrior right, you know? Fucking, no, I want to see, and I don't know if that's an actual line of the book, so don't quote me, but I'm just saying, for example.
I really, you know, think about this, I really kind of pissed they didn't get higher caliber actors. Could you imagine, like, hiring, like, Ian McKellen or Patrick Stewart to do this movie and having them read those lines? Like just get some, like, classically trained Shakespearean actor. And, like, put them in this movie and make them say this, like, grade school level dialogue.
It's like, I mean, you take Twilight. You take Twilight, which is – you're already
– already can, pretty bad.
Right. You can already kind of hear your claws scraping the bottom of the tub at that point. And then you make fan fiction from that. You take that fan fiction, you bastardize it further, and then make a book and movie out of it. It's like quintessentially basically like the entertainment equivalent of hot dogs. It's like all of the pieces of the meat that no one wanted, like fucking cow anus and all this other shit, and it's just ran through the fucking whatever food processor fucking Vince Offer was talking about, you'll love my nuts. And I'd be surprised if that wasn't a line in the movie too. And then you make that some kind of like entertainment vehicle. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's the appeal to people. Maybe they know it's processed garbage and they just want it. I don't know. But that's essentially what you have here. You have something that's already bad, made worse, ground up, marketed, and there you go.
Oh, that's the 50 Shades of Grey trailer. God damn it. It's going to be a thing that happens. But moving on, let's talk some more, I don't want to say better movies, but more interesting movies.
Better.
Let's start with Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. This is going to start off our Comic-Con 2014 coverage. San Diego Comic-Con just concluded at the time of this recording. So we are going to just talk about the Batman v Superman news that was dropped here. First things first, Wonder Woman, who we've known is going to be in this movie forever. The first official images of Wonder Woman from the film have been released. And, Jack, I know you in particular have been rather critical of the casting choice. So why don't you, tell me your thoughts?
I see nothing here to change my mind. She doesn't look like Wonder Woman. She looks like a skinny supermodel bitch in a fucking Wonder Woman costume, which is exactly pretty much what it is. I mean, no disrespect to the actress, but I'm just saying, I mean, this is intended to assault the casting choice, not the actress herself. It doesn't look like Wonder Woman. It looks like she needs a fucking sandwich.
I mean, to me, I don't know.
I mean, she's not unattractive, but she doesn't look warrior-esque.
I don't know. That gaze looks pretty fucking deadly.
It does. I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's credit to the actress herself. I mean, she can master the look. But, you know, this Amazonian warrior princess chick, whatever, you know, it doesn't convey that. Mm-hmm. This is... It looks like a different hero. It looks like some chick in insert metropolitan city's name here has a bad day, decides to fucking become a superhero, and that's her outfit, and she's pissed. It doesn't look like Wonder Woman to me. It doesn't look like what I think of when I think of Wonder Woman. It just looks like some skinny chick in a fucking outfit. I mean, she's not unattractive, but it's not really – I hate to say it, but it's not really sexy factor that I'm really talking about here. It's, does she convey what most people think of as Wonder Woman? And I kind of got to say no.
See, here's the thing. I have no basis for a live action Wonder Woman. There has never, like, I know there was that TV show.
Yeah, and that, I believe
Linda
that
Carter,
was within-
I think.
I think so. I mean, I believe that was within my lifetime, but that was, I mean, at most I'd have been like one or two.
But I never, I never saw that.
Right.
And so I don't really know what live action Wonder Woman's supposed to look like. And you know,
no,
this chick,
the thing is,
the costume looks good. She doesn't look like she's swimming in it. She looks like she fills it out, like the costume itself. Well
it's
enough.
That's because it's made of like three pieces of fabric. I mean, it doesn't take much to fill in that.
I know, but my point is that I look at this picture and I'm like, yeah, I could buy her as Wonder Woman.
I mean, I don't know. I would kind of have to see the performance, and that means sitting through it. Again, I mean.
Look, you're going to see the movie. I mean, that's just a thing.
Well, I'm not. I will at some point.
Yeah, you may not see it in theaters, but you will see it.
Yeah, and it's, if nothing else, to see what kind of a god-awful train wreck it is. Granted, no, there is no real modern live-action reference for Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
which you don't really need one to get it right, and yet somehow they failed. Okay, a good template would have been like, okay, Xena. All right, that kind of, you know, mm-hmm. that would be a good modern, semi-modern equivalent to kind of what you'd be looking for.
Okay, I mean, I gotcha.
You know, and that's not. She looks like she looks more like a model than an Amazonian warrior. That's what I'm saying. Bottom line, she looks more like a model than an Amazonian warrior.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not the only Batman v Superman news we got. There was a trailer shown. It wasn't released, but it has been a leaked version of it, and we've both watched it. We've both sort of seen the screen caps. What are your thoughts?
I literally laughed out loud. Okay. It looks – okay. For those who haven't seen it, I mean the footage of – I mean it's obviously shot from someone's cell phone at Comic-Con, which good on you, Internet, for doing your fucking job and actually, you know, getting footage of it. So kudos to that at least, you know. As for the trailer itself, it's – You go in and there's Batman doing Batman things. The first thing you see is like the Batman symbol, and it looks god awful.
They're using the big bloated one from the Dark Knight Returns comic book series.
Yeah, I mean I'm not familiar with that comic series. To me, it reminded me of like the Adam West Batman logo mm-hmm. a little bit.
Well, basically, what they did was they kind of took that Batman logo for that comic series. And then they just sort of stretched it out. They bloated it up a bit. And you know how we talked about how Ben Affleck's Batman outfit has those like short, nubby ears?
Yeah.
That is an other thing from that. Batman's got short, you know, nubby ears in the Dark Knight Returns comic book series. So it seems as if they're using that series as a visual reference for Batman in this movie.
Well... We'll put that in the list of other mistakes that they've made. But, I mean, this Batman logo just looks kind of retarded, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing that, I'm immediately laughing, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's Adam West and fucking Robin? And
I think the Nolan take on the Batman symbol was quite good. But then again, I think the Nolan films were, like, the perfect Batman movie. And like
I don't think they're perfect. I don't think that at all. But they're a far cry from this shit. And, you know, I'd take that. I've had my problems with the Nolan. I loved Batman Begins. Batman Begins was awesome. The other two I had problems with. But this, we've discussed that before. We won't bring that in right now. But, yeah, I mean, so I see that. And then you see Superman, and his eyes are glowing like this fucking evil, hateful red. What the fuck?
Well, Superman's got laser vision.
Right, he's got laser vision, but like in the way that it was portrayed, it was very ominous, mm-hmm. very, you know.
Well, I think they're trying to get across the idea like those two are going to fight, and the whole idea is people want to see them fight, so you put that in the trailer, and then people say, I can't wait to see them fight, and then they buy tickets to the movie.
Well, no, I mean, I get it. I get what they're doing. I'm just saying that it looks stupid. And it kind of puts forth an image, you know, people bitched and had a wah-wah fit over Superman snapping Zod's neck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like along that same lines, like Superman at this point, I mean, he's not even killing a bad guy, which I have no issues with whatsoever. He's just looking plain old fucking ominous. And then you see Batman, and his motherfucking eyes are glowing too.
Well,
okay, so Superman has laser visions. Okay, so his eyes glow. Batman? What the fuck? His eyes are glowing?
Well, if you take a look at the screenshots from it, it's clear that Batman in this trailer is not wearing his standard Batman outfit. He's kind of got, like, he's not wearing a mask so much as he's wearing, like, a helmet. And he's got kind of an armored look, so maybe this is the armor that Batman wears to quote-unquote power up to fight Superman.
You're reaching really hard on that.
I'm not reaching. He is wearing armor. Like, if you look at the still, that's not...
I know. I know. I mean, I get what you're saying. It just sounds kind of like, I don't know.
Well, I can tell you why they did it. I'll tell you why they did it. Because one of the most popular iterations of Batman is the animated series.
Yeah, and I liked it as well.
And in the Batman animated series, Batman was illustrated with blank white eyes whenever right. Bruce put on the costume.
Right.
And now, obviously, that's a animation thing, and when you just do an adaptation of it, you can't – a live-action adaptation – you can't do that because you're dealing with, like, a real person who's wearing a mask.
Right.
And you can't take the artistic liberties that you can in animation. So that – the Batman with the solid white eyes thing has been something that has never been duplicated in live action. And I see this as sort of the attempt to capture that look. Like, well, we can't just give him white eyes, because when we put the Batman costume on Ben Affleck, you know, his eyes won't be solid white. So how can we justify giving him, like, glowing white eyes? Well, what if he's wearing, like, a helmet, and he's got, like, and the eyes are like a visor or something, and they glow white? And that's what they did.
Okay, if that's what they have in fact done, mm-hmm. then I get where they're coming from. But you take that trailer, you take that picture of Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
and what this movie seems to be shaping up to be, at least in its very alpha stage, pre-alpha even, mm-hmm. is very overly stylized. Hyperbolically stylized, where you had the Nolan trilogy, which is very gritty, down to earth, realistic.
Well, the whole point was to create Batman in the real world, with those movies.
Right, and I know this movie is going for something else, and I guess they're taking their gamble on it being such a contrast stylistically to the Nolan movies that it will be something different and received well because of it. But then again, you're also this movie is started out as kind of the quote unquote sequel, successor, what have you, to Man of Steel. But yet even that, in this case, it's not stylistically, it's not even keeping in line with that, because Man of Steel even took that real world kind of approach in as much as one possibly can with Superman, mm-hmm. you know, and they try to keep it real, dog, and, but it's, they had that kind of same, they gave it the Dark Knight treatment, which is all the rage these days, but then you've got this movie, which is in that continuity, if not an outright sequel, it's at least in the same continuity, but it's got such a very contrasting style to it, seems like at least, and it you gotta be consistent. That's one thing the Nolan movies did right. I mean, they stayed consistent with their style, with their, you know, how they did things in that depiction of Gotham. And this here though, this is different. They're doing a 180. They're going with like some kind of directly trying to translate, you know, comic book and animation into a live action movie. And I won't even go into all the instances in the past in which that's failed miserably. We'll just say that it's not even being consistent with itself in that respect.
I was going to touch on the fact that between the images of Wonder Woman and this trailer, I get the feeling that this movie wants to take the DC animated universe that began with Batman the Animated Series, continued with Superman the Animated Series, and then continued on with the Green Lantern animated stuff and the Wonder Woman animated stuff and the right. Justice League stuff. That whole animated continuity that Bruce Timm sort of spearheaded for Warner Brothers and became immensely popular and profitable, I get the feeling that this is trying to take that style, at least visually, and apply it in live action. And I don't know if it's going to be a success or not. I'm interested in seeing it. I'm interested to seeing how well they succeed in that, and I'm interested to see what it looks like if they do succeed. I just don't know if it's going to be successful. As you mentioned, trying to directly translate an animated aesthetic into live action has been disastrous. You know, you defended Speed Racer, but without getting into whether or not that crossed any lines, I think you can at least agree that the over-stylized look of that movie was controversial.
I could see where it would be off-putting to some, yes.
And so I guess my feelings here are, you know, there's a lot of room for error here. And as someone who loved the Nolan movies, as someone who really liked the Nolan Batman aesthetic, I like Batman the Animated Series 2, but I like Batman the Animated Series as a cartoon show, and I like the Nolan Batman films as Batman movies, as live-action Batman movies, and I don't think trying to take the animated series into the realm of live action, which is what this movie seems to be doing, at least from what we've seen so far.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, you know how you explained to me about James Bond, where they went from how they fucked up kind of by going from Roger Moore to Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, they went from very campy Roger Moore, and then almost immediately they went to super cold-hearted Timothy Dalton.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm saying right here, except the opposite. They went from a realistic approach to, you know, a very stylized comic book animated approach. Within the same continuity, even. And just like, you know, Bond did in that case, I suppose, in as much as one can argue such things. And that's kind of what I think this is doing. I mean, will it be interesting to see? Yeah, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe they'll pull it off. I just think they're kind of, again, I mean, that particular style that they are striving for, I mean, that does appeal to me, you know. I have liked a lot of movies that have done that. And, you know, so I get it. It kind of has almost this Sin City 300-ish look to it, kind of.
Well,
The image of Wonder Woman especially looked very 300-ish.
Zack Snyder.
Right. No, I mean, I get it. I get it. And, you know, maybe it'll be cool. I Sin City was cool. The spirit sucked ass.
Well, that was Frank. That's on Frank Miller.
Right. No, I know. But Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe they'll pull it off. I don't know. I just kind of like, and it's kind of making me step back a bit.
All right. That's Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Let's move on. This really wasn't so much a Comic-Con reveal, but it was a DC reveal that occurred around the time that Comic-Con was sort of finishing up. So, Arrow. Live action adaptation of DC's, The Green Arrow comic book character. It's been on TV for 2 seasons. Third season's, starting this fall. Season 3 preview launched recently. And, Ra's al Ghul has been announced as, in this trailer. At the end of it, they reveal that Ra's is going to be the villain of, Arrow. So, my first thoughts on that were, wow, the Nolan trilogy really was everything Ra's al Ghul needed to be popular again, because no one gave a shit about him until he became pretty much the main enemy of the Nolan trilogy. And now, you know, Arrow decides to kind of use him for season 3 of their show. So, you saw the same trailer that I did, Jack. What were your thoughts? Because I've actually got something I've got some not so kind things to say about it, but I want to get your opinion first before I kind of go into that.
To quote you, as you say on so many things, it looks like goddamn amateur hour. Okay, now let me preface this by saying I have not watched the show. I don't really care to watch it. Time constraints. I only have so many hours in a week to fucking do shit, and watching the show is not something I'd really care to do.
I mean, let's face it. Green Arrow, like Hawkeye, his superpower is being really good with a form of weaponry that's been outdated since the High Middle Ages.
Right. And this is not even so much
a hello bullets, it's arrows. You win.
I'm going to put this into two parts. I'm going to say what I think of what I've seen of the show in general, both from this trailer and from, you know, previews I've seen. And I think once I sat and watched like 10 minutes of it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, you know, why I don't watch it. And then I'm going to say how I think this pertains to the reveal of Ra's al Ghul is the season 3, antagonist. Mm-hmm. First off, I think this show is, as I said, goddamn amateur hour. It looks like fucking cosplay. It looks like fucking cosplayers with a few more dollars than your average cosplayers would have.
Well, it is.
And they're
CW.
Filming their fucking shit.
Well, it is CW.
Exactly. It's everything you would think fucking CW would churn out. And it looks like, you know, they show the, you know, it looked like the props are just crap. The costumes are crap. Real Walmart shit here going on.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I can't really think of the proper adjective to use in this situation. But I thought the same thing when I saw Smallville, which was a WB production. And for those who are perhaps unaware, WB and UPN, two kind of bottom rung networks, merged together to form the CW. And every attempt at a superhero or sci-fi show that has been on the WB, UPN, or CW, it has the exact same – they have the exact same aesthetic problem that Jack just described. The props, like – okay, the props aren't like painted cardboard and duct tape bad, but the sets and the props, they just – it's hard to describe, but they just look cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything about this looked cheap to me. Mm-hmm. And now, in translating this as to how it pertains to Ra's al Ghul, I think, okay, so that they want to take the big head honcho from the Nolan trilogy, and they want to make him the big bad in season 3. While they may be intending this to help their show, and I'm sure, of course, they are, I think, and this is going to sound kind of elitist of me, and I'm even saying this as not the biggest fan of the Nolan trilogy in the world, they're kind of cheapening the character by putting him in this fucking show.
Now, my original thought when I saw this, and this just goes to show how far Liam Neeson's stock has dropped. Wow, they got Liam Neeson? Of course, Neeson played Ra's al Ghul from the Nolan trilogy, and I was thinking, Liam Neeson, he was a Battleship, man.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought, well, you know, we'll do Ra's al Ghul like those Nolan films. Well, who can we get to play him? Let's just get Liam Neeson. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, and at that point, it'd be like, you know, one step away from Liam Neeson doing fucking Payday Advance commercials. When they were about to turn off my lights, I called 1-800-CASH-THE-FUCK-NOW, and they gave me cash right the fuck now. So, I mean, you know, and I will put out there for any fans of this show, you know, I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm not trying to piss in your Wheaties. I admit my opinion on this show is very uninformed. I'm coming at this from kind of a virginized standpoint, and I'm just simply saying why I do not watch this show, why nothing in this trailer whatsoever is going to change my mind on that, and take that for what you will. I don't care one way or the other.
Now I do like Ra's al Ghul. Maybe it's just a thing because my favorite comic book superhero is Iron Man. Iron Man's arch nemesis and my favorite comic book supervillain is the Mandarin. And the Mandarin and I've always kind of viewed Ra's al Ghul as sort of DC's Mandarin in a way, because they both kind of occupy the same character space in my mind, kind of the Eastern terrorist kind of ideal. And so I've always liked Ra's. Unlike a lot of comic book fans, I don't draw the line in the sand. We're like, oh, it's the other company. No. I have my stated preferences, but even though I would consider myself a Marvel fan first and foremost, I'd still say Batman's better than a lot of guys, a lot of what Marvel has on hand. So I like Batman, and I like Ra's al Ghul. And I was very happy to see Ra's al Ghul be the primary focus of Batman Begins, and then to kind of see his influence continue to be exerted over the Nolan trilogy, the rest of the Nolan trilogy. I was like, yes, people are finally recognizing that Ra's al Ghul is a cool villain. And then
and look what you got, sir. Your wish came true.
Well, there's that, but okay. I've seen half of season one of Arrow, because here's the thing about Arrow. Yeah, I ragged on him earlier about the bow and arrow thing, and about, you know, goddammit, some guy with a pea shooter is better armed than you. But the fact of the matter is that I do have sort of a... I like the story of Robin Hood. I have a taste for fantasy literature and fantasy storytelling and you know, kind of, you know, the knight's tales, chivalry, medieval knights, that kind of thing. So the whole archery theme that that Green Arrow has going for him does appeal to me. So I was like, sure, I'll give Arrow a chance when it started. And like Jack alluded to earlier, the cheapness that you see with everything that this network tries to do when they try to do sci-fi.
Now,
the point being, everything I saw looked that cheap, and after half of the first season, I said, this just feels like a CW. This feels exactly what I would expect a superhero show on the CW to look like, and I stopped watching.
Now, I will say this for CW. I do really like, Supernatural was at one point a really good series.
Is that the one with vampires? No, that was Sanctuary. Never mind.
Yeah, no, it's vampires. It's everything. It's like two brothers basically do the X-Files thing with more kind of an edge to it.
Oh, see, because there's a great show like that. It's called The X-Files, and it's pretty nifty.
Well, no, I mean, I guess in this sense, it's more like a private paranormal investigator. I don't know really how to describe it.
So what, like if the FBI finally got sick of Mulder's crap, and he just decided to go out on his own?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then brought his brother Larry in to help him.
yeah, it's these two brothers, and their father was into this kind of thing, and then he dies. He's killed by a demon, and then they decide to, you know, take up the family business more or less. And they kind of go into it, and it's just kind of everything that stems from there. And it goes into it has a bit of kind of a Constantine-esque kind of a feel to it too, because you have this whole stop the apocalypse thing. You've got hell and heaven and the whole thing in between. So yeah, there's a lot of shit going on in that show. My only issue with that one is that it's kind of gone on past where it should have. It's kind of jumped the shark.
Well, so did X-Files when they brought in, you know, the T-1000 to replace.
Yeah. But, I mean, so I'll say, you know, most of the CW shows I've seen have been ass, except Supernatural, which is really good when it has its moments. On the whole, I mean, it was pretty good, at least for the first six seasons, in my opinion. The latter seasons, I've watched a little bit of them here and there, but it's just kind of like not the same anymore. And it's kind of just like, whatever. So that's my thought on that.
Point being, I gave Arrow a shot, and it had the same feeling of cheapness that I got from Smallville, which I got from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, anytime CW or its ancestral networks, anytime they tried to do sci-fi, just didn't really pan out. But my larger point here is that when I watched this trailer, I got a Batman Begins feeling. And not just in the fact that Ra's al Ghul is the villain. I got the whole feeling because they show him and he's a... Oh man, what's his name? The Green Arrow. I just blanked on his name. I think it's Quinn. Green Arrow... Oliver Queen, yeah, okay, blah. Don't know how I could have forgot that, just blanked. Oliver Queen. And they in this trailer, you know, they show Oliver Queen, and he's like, I was away in China. And then they show him kind of running through a Chinese market. And then they cut to the end, where they finally reveal Ra's al Ghul. And, you know, Oliver Queen's like, Ra's al Ghul knows I'm alive. And they're like, yes, and he wants to kill you. And so I thought, this is the fucking plot to Batman Begins. You know, Bruce Wayne, Batman Begins, goes to China, has adventures in China, meets Ra's al Ghul. They have a falling out. Bruce goes back to Gotham. And now Ra's has returned to kill him. And you could basically just substitute Bruce Wayne, Batman, of Oliver Queen, Green Arrow. And that's the story this trailer's telling. So it seems to me as if the Batman Begins influence didn't just stop with using Ra's al Ghul as the villain. It went into, let's just rip off the plot to Batman Begins, and then we'll stretch it over the length of a television series.
Because fuck it. Why not? And is it me, or is it... Now, I don't recall exactly if this was shown in the trailer or not, but it was a thought I had while watching the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
When the dude's running through fucking China and everything, you know, all these fucking these foot chase scenes in China, they all look the same no matter what show or movie you're in. They all look the same. It's like some dude running through like some slum or marketplace, and they always like tip over a fucking vegetable cart or some shit.
It's
while some Chinese guy's like, you come back! You pay now! You know.
It's movie law. It's movie law that if you go to an Eastern country, rule one, you have to get into a foot chase. Rule two, over the course of that foot chase, you must knock over a fruit and or vegetable stand.
Or get one of the, I don't know what they're called. The basically the people pulled carriages. I forget what the term for them is. You gotta, you know, piss off one of those guys too, because that's a thing that they have over there. And we Americans are like, ooh, that's so cute. You know, and so you gotta do that. Yeah, I'm just like, wow. Yeah. Rickshaw, that's what it is.
Rickshaw, yes.
Rickshaw, yes.
But yeah. Yeah, I got a very Batman Begins feeling, and I've seen a lot of people say, oh, see, that trailer looks pretty good. I'm like, yeah, because Batman Begins was a good movie.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, there was something else that did this a few years ago. It's called Batman Begins. You should watch it.
Same villain and everything.
Budget, rumor has it.
Same villain and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, Ra's al Ghul getting more publicity. And to any fans any DC fans who want to say that I'm pronouncing it right, they're saying, no, it should be pronounced as Ra's al Ghul. No, it shouldn't. Because the term Ra's al Ghul is actually an Arabic phrase. It means demon's head. And the term in Arabic is pronounced Ra's al Ghul, not Ra's. Ra's was just something they did for the animated series. But yet everyone freaks out. Like, no, Ra's is the proper pronunciation. No, it's not. It was the mispronunciation that just gained some traction with the animated series. So no hate mail. It's Ra's al Ghul. That's how you say the phrase. That's how, that is the guy's title.
And I'm just going to go out and say, fuck the internet's tendency to correct people on pronunciations. If I, okay, my native language is English. If I see a word, whether it's in English or not, I'm going to pronounce it in English. If you don't like that, fuck off.
Well, here's the thing. It's not even like Ra's is a proper – no, Ra's isn't the proper pronunciation. In this case, the proper pronunciation is how you would read it in English. The whole Ra's al Ghul thing.
Yeah, no, I get
it. The whole Ra's al Ghul thing, that was just nonsense that people, like, hung on to for some reason. I just brought it up because I've been pronouncing his name correctly, and I know that some, you know, DC fan who doesn't listen is like, no, it's Ra's al Ghul. No, it's not. It's not Ra's al Ghul. That's stupid and it sounds weird. It's Ra's al Ghul. Okay. moving on to Marvel. And Marvel's Comic-Con unveilings are pretty sparse in terms of hard content. We're going to start with the only big thing that they unveiled related to a specific film. And that was Ant-Man. Ant-Man got a lot of traction. His costume, the Ant-Man helmet was on display, and the poster for Ant-Man coming out in July 2015 was also on display. So,
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Part 5, Adventures in New York.
I mean, Ant-Man, I can't believe they're sticking to this date. They, you know, the director leaves or is fired, depending on who you listen to. But either way, they're starting over with a new director with no attachment to the Roar project. And they're like, make a movie in a year. And I'm sure this won't be a mess at all. I take it that the poster, in your opinion, has done nothing to change your mind.
No, it shows the guy riding a fucking ant.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Well, that's what gave me the idea. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Part 5. Like, what the fuck? I assuming they had a 4. I know they had like a 2 or 3. I don't know.
Well,
whatever.
Then there was Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. I don't know. That whole project got way more sequels than it deserved.
Yeah, he shows the man riding a fucking ant, for Christ's sake.
Let's look at Avengers. Avengers. Who's in the Avengers? Captain America. Super Soldier. As fast, as strong, as agile as a human can possibly be. Tony Stark. Genius with power armor that, you know, probably outguns several third world, armed forces. Hulk. Giant fucking green rage monster that wrecks shit. Thor, the motherfucking god of thunder. You know, he just controls lightning. And then, who are you gonna add to this team? Guys, I'm small and I brought my pet Aunt Fred.
You are admitted.
I mean, yes, okay, I know Ant-Man was in the original Avengers team back in the 60s, but, you know,
that was a mistake then, and just repeating it with citing authenticity doesn't make it less of a mistake now.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. Hank Pym, and I know the point of Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, is to be an asshole, but he's a fucking asshole, and I don't enjoy reading about him because he's just a douchebag. And not the fun douchebag that Tony Stark is. Like, Tony Stark's a douchebag, too, but at least he's entertaining about it. Hank Pym is just, like, the kind of guy who, if he wasn't a super genius with a stupid Ant-Man suit, would be, like, the guy being pulled out of a trailer for hitting his wife on cops. And now Charlie Sheen's dad is playing him. No, wait, it's Michael Douglas is playing him. No! Who's playing painting? I don't know. One of those two guys. Point being that now a kindly elderly actor is playing him as Paul Rudd takes over. Now, Paul Rudd, we talked about this a bit before, but I want to bring it up again. It made sense when Edgar Wright wanted to make Ant-Man sort of a comedy, and then, of course, that's why you'd get Paul Rudd for it, because he's a comedic actor. But now they're keeping Paul Rudd, but Edgar Wright's gone, so supposedly Marvel wasn't happy with the comic, with the comedic aspect to it. So now we're going to have Paul Rudd in a non-comedy, and he's going to be riding an ant.
From what I've read, it's still a comedy. I mean, I think the new guy that they brought in, I mean, he's also a comedic writer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still going to be a comedy, I believe.
Is the only way to do an Ant-Man movie.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the only way this is going to make any goddamn sense at all is for it to be a comedy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Jesus, people. And yeah, I know Disney has this shit planned. I get it. I get that there is a method to the madness, but the question here is, do the ends justify the means? I guess is what I'm saying.
As I've constantly said, Ant-Man jostles with Aquaman regularly for the position of worst superhero in the world. But moving on from that, as you said, there is a degree of planning at stake here. So let's talk about Marvel's schedule that they have released starting in 2015 to 2019. So they have released the schedule of every Marvel movie for the next 5 years. May 1st, 2015, Avengers Age of Ultron. Talked about that last week. Ultron is now Skynet. He always kind of was. July 17, 2015, Ant-Man. Paul Rudd rides an ant around the streets of New York as people attempt to care.
Lol.
May 6th, 2016, Captain America 3. The big intrigue here is, will they convince Hugo Weaving to come back so we can see the Red Skull again? July 8th, 2016, and here's where we get into it. Every movie from this point on is untitled. July 8th, 2016, untitled. May 5th, 2017, untitled. July 28th, 2017, untitled. November 3rd, 2017, untitled. May 4th, 2018, untitled. July 6th, 2018, untitled. November 2nd, 2018, untitled. May 3rd, 2019, untitled. So, we know the next Guardians of the Galaxy comes out in a few days. After that, Ultron, Ant-Man, Captain America 3, and then a whole lot of speculation. And, of course, we see speculation. So, any ideas what you think some of those untitleds are going to be? Because everyone else has sort of given their guess. You can find lists all over the internet what people think is going to go where. What do you think? Anything you think is going to happen? Or, you know, is there anything that you want to see? Just like a wish list.
Fucking Deadpool.
Now, Deadpool's going to be interesting. Because Deadpool did appear. He was in X-Men Origins Wolverine. And they fucked him up big time. But the fact that he was there, I don't know who owns the rights to him. Because the Marvel rights are all kind of up in the air because they sold off a bunch of them before they consolidated.
Yeah,
I don't know. If Deadpool's rights are exclusively with Fox, then a Deadpool movie that fits into the Marvel cinematic universe is probably unlikely.
I would like to see the Mandarin done correctly.
So Iron Man 4.
Either Iron Man 4 or here's a thought. Let's have Avengers 4 or, you know, bump Thanos from 3 and have the Mandarin be the villain. Which, I mean, yeah, before you say that's not going to happen, I get it. But I'm just saying what I would like to see.
Apparently Robert Downey Jr., who is an Iron Man fan, pitched the Mandarin as the villain for the first Avengers, and then they said, no, we're doing Loki, so then we got Loki 2.
Right, right. Now we have Thor 2, which is Loki 3.
Do you think we're going to see a Thor 3 over this? I mean, I have to think they will. The Thor movies always sort of, like, they're never the cream of the crop, but at the same time, they make a lot of money, and people do seem to like them. In my opinion, the first and the second Thor movies, they're both adequate superhero movies that did what they had to do well enough. So I see no reason why there won't be a third one, especially if they're going to have Thor continue to be in the Avengers. You sort of need to keep him in the public consciousness between Avengers movies.
Yeah, I would like to see, well, I'm not going to say I'd like to see a Thor 3. I think there will be a Thor 3, and I'm not adverse to it. I just don't want it to be Loki 4.
It will be. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it probably will be. I would like, of course, Deadpool. I would like to see the Mandarin be done correctly. I would like to see, I'd like to see another fucking Punisher movie. Done correctly.
What's Thomas Jane up to these days?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, he was recently in an HBO original series called Hung, in which he plays a male prostitute. so, I mean, he definitely still has the physique for the role, as evidenced in that show. He could do Punisher again. And I would like to see that. I mean, you would have to, you know, go pretty far for me to convince me to accept anyone other than Tom Jane as the Punisher.
You know, it would be awesome if they brought him back as Punisher and then, like, they retroactively made that Punisher movie he did in continuity with the rest of the Marvel Universe.
That would be epic.
That would be epic because that won't be a bad movie, Public Defender, because I agree that it's awesome, so I couldn't prosecute it. But that movie was sort of like the redheaded stepchild of the Marvel of Marvel's movie listings. So like, to see this movie that everyone has just sort of written off, forgotten about, or hates, and then like they just suddenly say, "Nope, it was in continuity the whole time." That would be amazing.
Well, I've always kind of assumed it to be in continuity because nothing has said that it wasn't.
That is true. Like, if you are a Punisher fan and you like that movie, there's nothing stopping you from saying that, you know, while all that stuff of Loki was going on in New York, you know, Thomas Jane killed John Travolta in Tampa.
Right. You know, I don't see, you know, there's nothing saying that I know of, at least, that it's not in continuity. I would like to see more because, again, I agree. I mean, it was kind of the redheaded stepchild. It got that goddamn Warzone sequel. That thing was ass.
It was – that Warzone wasn't a sequel. It was a reboot. But here's the thing. It was written as a sequel, but then Tom Jane said, "This is stupid and I'm not doing it." And then so they recast the Punisher and then they figured to just turn it into a reboot since they had recast the role.
Right. And goddamn it, you know. And I guess after that movie did shit, then they're like, "Oh, well, we just won't do Punisher anymore." Well, no, here's the thought. Write a script that doesn't blow chunks and get Tom Jane back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, at least kudos to him for having some standards on it. I don't know. But yeah, I'd like to see the Punisher. That's pretty much my wish list. What about you?
I see Mandarin done correctly, obviously. That Hail to the King short they did with Ben Kingsley laid the foundation to do the Mandarin correctly. I'd like to see that followed through on the big screen. I'd like to see, honestly, a Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo, the guy who plays him in the Avengers. There was the Edward Norton one, which as far as I know is in continuity with the current Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I'd like to see Ruffalo do a standalone Hulk movie. They've announced Doctor Strange. That's not so much a wish list. I don't have anything against Doctor Strange. I just don't particularly, I wouldn't put him on a list of things I'd like to see. But, you know, whatever. He's probably going to get a movie in there. They've been name-dropping him left and right, and apparently Joaquin Phoenix is on tap to play him, which will just be odd. And I'm going to go out. I'm going to take a kind of an opposite stance on this. I've seen a lot of people say, well, give Hawkeye or Black Widow their own movies. And I'm going to say no. Black Widow and Hawkeye, compared to the rest of the Avengers, just, I mean, they're basically operatives. They're secret agents. If you gave them their own movies, they just come off as pale attempts to imitate James Bond or the Bourne series. So, no. I don't want to see.
I agree.
I don't want to see Hawkeye or Black Widow get their own movies. Give them roles in the other movies. Keep them in the public consciousness. Have them show up here and there. But I don't see why we need to give them their own movies. Obviously, I think Avengers 3 is going to be in there. Thanos' Day Out, as I've taken to calling it. Yeah, it's probably going to focus on the Infinity Gauntlet. Thor 3 I'd like to see, because I generally find the Thor movies to be a pleasant way to kill an afternoon.
Loki 4.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I guess Guardians of the Galaxy is going to open up a lot more possibilities, because if Guardians of the Galaxy succeeds the box office, then you're just going to see a slew of, like, D-list superheroes. Because Guardians of the Galaxy has proven that you can do that. If Guardians of the Galaxy underperforms or just bombs, then, you know, thankfully we'll be spared some of the more insufferable, lesser known Marvel characters. But yeah, trying to project this far into the future, you're basically trying to project into all of Marvel's plot twists, and I'm not sure if that's even doable.
And again, that's even just what they've announced. I mean, they've got more than what they've announced even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good bit more. But again, at that point, they're probably not even sure.
And we know that. And we know they have more than this announced. We have sources.
We're not out of the loop. Well, we are, but we're not. We are the shadows on the wall, the itching in your sock when you're driving. We are that one burned piece of pizza that you get on an otherwise perfect pizza, the one with the bubble on it. You know what I'm talking about. We're that.
Point being, we can say beyond simple speculation that the list they revealed is not all everything they have planned.
Yeah, no, that much we can say, yeah.
And that is our attempt to make the show sound important. Moving on.
Yeah.
That's really all it was when it comes to Marvel. You know, Ant-Man, a whole list of movies coming up that has fueled speculation. Apparently, Vision is going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron. Vision will be voiced by... He's a robot, too, like Ultron. But Vision will be voiced by Paul Bentley, who is, of course, the voice of Jarvis, Tony Stark's robotic butler. So there is the discussion about whether or not Vision and Jarvis are going to be, like, if Vision is an upgraded form of Jarvis in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Who knows? Right now, the only confirmation that Vision is going to be in it is in, like, a background image of some mural that they've been releasing piecemeal. I'm not exactly going to hold my breath on that or delve into wild speculation based off of a casting choice and a barely discernible picture. So, moving on. Let's move out of the realm of comic books and into the realm of something even more ridiculous, Power Rangers. And I say that as someone who likes Power Rangers, so let's not get on the hate train. Send your hate to Jack. He irrationally hates Joy.
Fuck Power Rangers.
Anyway, Robert Orci, one of the writers for the first two Transformers live action movies, one of the writers for the two rebooted Star Trek movies. He is involved in the new Power Rangers movie that we talked about some months back.
And he's rumored to be involved in the idea for a new Star Trek series.
Yes. But Orsi, on Power Rangers, they asked him, how is he going to deal... they were asked him if the movie's going to tie in with the ongoing continuity of the show, which has more or less been unobstructed since the original show, since season one of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Some seasons are more standalone than others, but there has been a continuous continuity through the 21-year history of Power Rangers. So when the movie was announced, the assumption that everyone made was that it was going to be a reboot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. According to this interview from Robert Orsi, that might not be the case. According to Robert Orsi, when asked about it, he said, and this is a quote, "One of the first things we did was learn and read. That is Saban, the company that owns Power Rangers, have 600 pages of research that they have on their own stuff. We read through the synopsis of everything they did, and we were actually trying to take into account quite a bit of the canon in a real way. We're not just leave it behind reboot. Saban cares very much about that. There is something that Haim Saban created. I had to go to his house personally and tell him, listen, man, listen, I'm your man. I'm not going to ruin your franchise. And he said, it's very important to me because kids around the world know who the Power Rangers are. So you can't just come in here and walk all over it. It better be consistent with what we've been doing. And I said, yes, sir. IGN, who was conducting this interview, followed that up saying, oh, so this does exist within the continuity of the television show. Orsi, it's got a continuity within that world. I can't tell you, how so, but it does have a continuity with it.
That makes me think it might be something along the lines like, TF4 was. Kind of like...
A reboot that's not a reboot?
Yeah, like ignoring it, mm-hmm. but not being outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something like that, I would guess. Something that gives the fans the ability to say, okay, well, this happens along with the other shit, but yet there's nothing in the movie perhaps to indicate that it is, or maybe something so small and unobtrusive as to not be offensive to those who are just like, oh, my God, you know. That's
I say this as someone who's a fan of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I wouldn't care if they just did a straight-up reboot. Like, look... Guys, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is fun, but it's not gonna, it doesn't work in a live action sense. I mean, God, they tried. Dear God, did they try, and it was,
yeah.
And it was terrible.
And in terms of not upsetting kids, I mean, kids don't know the concept of a fucking reboot.
Mm-hmm. They're just like, them. Oh, Power Rangers, robots, right. Fighting.
Right, I mean, as long as you visually make them recognizable as Power Rangers, to some degree or another, I mean, kids aren't going to care.
Talked about the possibilities of cameos from the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers cast. Robert Orsi said, of course, that's something we want to rely on Saban to tell us. They have a lot of internal knowledge of their franchise, and we're just learning that now. So basically, he's saying, yeah, they'd like to have cameos from the original cast, and how that ties in with some kind of ongoing continuity. We don't know. I thought this was interesting because this went from, this is going to be a reboot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, fresh reboot, and now it's, well, no, it's going to be in continuity. They say Robert Orsi does say that he's not sharing how it's going to be in continuity, so who knows, but. It's definitely made the conversation more interesting. Alternate universes, alternate timelines, or even if it's just as you said, Jack, Transformers 4, a Transformers 4-esque reboot where they keep it in continuity but just jump so many years in the future that they can essentially start fresh without rebooting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the news on Power Rangers, it is what little we have going forward. But we'll keep everyone posted on that as news develops. Moving on, something that has that is related to Power Rangers, at least conceptually. I call it Power Rangers grandfather, Godzilla, because I think we can all agree Power Rangers would not exist if Godzilla didn't invent the kaiju genre.
You saved yourself from me coming to Canada and bludgeoning you to death.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, there is a clear, I guess you could say, family connection between Godzilla and Power Rangers in terms of these genres.
Yeah, I mean, Godzilla, you know, pretty much brought about the whole kaiju thing. So, yeah, I mean, I get it.
Now,
Now,
kind of going off this, there was a brief thing at Comic-Con dealing with Godzilla. As we reported back when Godzilla... The current rebooted Godzilla series debuted. It did surprisingly well at the box office, and they greenlit a sequel.
And then they greenlit a trilogy.
Indeed, they released two sequels actually. At the San Diego Comic Con Legendary panel, director Gareth Edwards announced that he will be back to direct Godzilla 2. So far, that is the only title being thrown about, Godzilla 2. And he then showed the attendees at the panel a teaser featuring some of that faux historical footage from the start of the movie.
Right.
From the start of the first one. It was kind of in that style. Had a JFK voiceover that revealed there were more threats out there. And the names of creatures flashing on the screen included Mothra, Rodan, and my second favorite, kaiju enemy of Godzilla after Mechagodzilla, the mighty King Ghidorah.
Which is really, like, when I heard this, I was pretty fucking floored. I did not think they'd be doing Rodan. I did not think they'd be doing Mothra. Just because they'd had a flying kaiju in the last movie. And it kind of very much had a little bit of this, like, Rodan vibe.
Yeah.
It also had some elements of Mothra kind of in there, too.
But honestly, I think they could have called they could have called one of the Mutos Rodan, and I think people would have accepted it as an updated Rodan.
I wouldn't go that far. But, so yeah, I mean, I was pretty surprised by that. I was kind of almost expecting them to just continue the course, stay the course, and not have, besides Godzilla, any other Toho kaiju and continue developing original. Well, but no, they're putting their chips in.
But I have to ask, what would make you think that? I'd have to think that if you have the rights to use Godzilla, obviously you have a very good working relationship with Toho. And if Toho is willing to let you use their other monster properties, why not use that? It seems like it would be money left on the table to not use Rodan, Mothra, and King Ghidorah.
Just because, I mean, there were so many things that they could have done in the first movie, but did not, not in a bad way, but there was a lot of different directions they could have taken with it, but did not, in terms of bringing in other Toho monsters. And they actually proved that they could develop their own kaiju and it be accepted, as this Muto thing was. I still think a better name would have worked a lot better, but
whatever. The thing about Muto, though, is that the Muto wasn't its proper name, really.
Right.
That was just like a designation. It was like something terrestrial organism. I don't know.
Whatever.
It was an acronym, is what we're saying. Point being that, moving on.
I was kind of surprised. Not what I thought they would have done.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a good way. You know, I think that's really cool. I've actually spent some time just kind of thinking over in my mind what I would expect their versions of these monsters to look like. Rodan, I'm thinking probably a pretty standard, like a gritty, realistic, pterodactyl-esque thing. Mothra, again, the same thing. Fucking moth, whatever.
It's a rainbow moth. I'm not sure how.
I could kind of see them not doing the rainbow thing with it.
To me, that's iconic Mothra, though. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. King Ghidorah would probably if they're going to heavily fuck with any of them, I would think it might would be King Ghidorah.
No, you can't fuck with King Ghidorah, man. No.
I'm not, no, this isn't me saying that it needs to be fucked with. This is me saying that if they're going to fuck with one, it probably would be that one.
I'm just saying King Ghidorah, though. I mean, like, I don't have a problem with updating the, you know, King G-Man. I don't have a problem with that. But there's a difference between updating and, you know, fucking up. Like, he's still got to be gold. He's still got to have the wings. He's still got to have the three dragon heads. Anything else that you need to do to make it more gritty looking, go ahead and do it. But, like, the basic idea needs to be there.
No, I mean, I agree with you. And, you know, what we've seen so far from Gareth Edwards, and at least in his treatment of Godzilla, indicates that that's probably what he'll do. I mean, he updated Godzilla very, very well. I mean, I know some people had their issues with, you know, the new Godzilla saying he was fat or whatever. It's fine. I could see him kind of giving King Ghidorah the same treatment, but I could kind of also see them doing some departures from it. I don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, as with a lot of these movies we're talking about today, you know, this is going to be something that's, you know, very early, too soon to tell kind of a thing. So, you know, we'll just have to see. I wouldn't really be surprised by anything they did, though, to be honest with you.
Indeed. So, I gotta say, are you worried that maybe Mothra, Rodan, King Ghidorah and Godzilla might be too much for one film? I mean, each of these monsters has carried films individually on their own.
No, I'm not worried. I mean, it never stopped Toho, and nor should it stop Gareth Edwards. The more kaiju you have, the better your kaiju movie's going to be. It's not like a Marvel movie or a DC movie. It's not like some of these superhero movies we're seeing where each one of these have to have, you know, their own character development and all this other shit. These are monsters. You can get away without doing that. Mm-hmm. So the more you throw in, the better it is.
Okay.
This is a completely different beast from, you know, your Marvel and DC superhero wankathons, because you don't have to develop all these individual plot lines necessarily. You can just simply say, hey, these guys popped up here, there, and there due to this, that, and the other thing, and oh my god, they're fighting.
That's them fight.
Exactly. So, you know, that's really all you need to do.
I look forward to King Ghidorah, because King Ghidorah fucking rocks, man. King Ghidorah. So that's the Godzilla news. Given how soon it's been, it's only been a month. 2 months, really. So, yeah, it's only been 2 months since the release of Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Not Godzilla. Godzilla, just Godzilla, no King of the Monsters. But it's only been 2 months since the release of the first one, so obviously nothing beyond just saying, hey, King Ghidorah, Mothra, and Rodan are gonna be in the next one can really be expected. I just want to say again, I enjoy Godzilla. I'd consider myself a casual Godzilla fan, but I know you are the Godzilla diehard, Jack, so I wanted to say again, on the heels of this awesome news, congratulations, sir, your franchise it's made it.
Yeah, finally.
False start in 98, you know, it's here.
Yeah, it just turks me off a bit that Gareth Edwards is going to be wasting his time with some other movie before Godzilla 2. But, you know, whatever. I'll take what I can get and I'll be damn happy.
Gareth Edwards directs Power Rangers.
Oh, dear God. No, they said what the other movie was. I think they did, but I forget what it was. Yeah. It wasn't anything important to me. Whatever.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't really bring it to mind either. But we're going to power on through this. Transformers news. San Diego Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con has become a big deal within the Transformers fandom. And you wouldn't think it would be because it only comes about a month after BotCon, and of course we covered BotCon. So, you know, if you're an outsider and you're listening to this, you might be thinking, well, what could they possibly reveal at San Diego Comic-Con that they didn't reveal at BotCon? And that used to be the case, except Hasbro figured that out. And now they withhold revealing stuff at BotCon so they can reveal stuff at Comic-Con. And then sort of the two combined form this explosion of Transformers news. So on that note, we're going to jump into the stuff that was teased at BotCon and revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. We talked about, in our coverage of BotCon, that 2015 would be the year of combiners. And we gave our speculation as to what the combiners would be. One of the silhouettes shown at BotCon was very Superion-esque, the Aerobots. So, of course, we thought the Aerobots would be involved. And then they showed a silhouette of a helicopter Transformer. And then that had people saying, oh, it's either going to be Bruticus, the Combaticons, or Defensor and the Protectobots, yeah. Because those are the only two combiners in Classic G1 who feature helicopters. So let's dive right in. The first one revealed was Superion, the Aerobots. So we were right on that one.
Yes.
Here's the twist, I guess. One of the Aerobots, Slingshot, transforms into a jet plane. For the sake of this updated Generation Superion, Slingshot's alternate mode has been changed from a jet to a helicopter. So all of the speculation about Bruticus or Defensor out the window, that helicopter was part of Superion.
Thank fuck.
And of course, we didn't pick up on that because there is no classic helicopter in Superion. But now, I guess Slingshot had himself an identity crisis and was like, I get lost in the shuffle among all the jets. I'm going to stand out and be my own me. And then became a helicopter. So I want to ask you right off the bat, Jack. Does including a helicopter in the Aerobots scream of betrayal?
I don't really give a shit. I'm just glad it's not fucking Defensor. I really don't. I mean, you know, they're aerial. They're not jet bots. They're aerial bots. Last I checked, helicopters are in the air. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it's whatever. It's all good.
What do you think about Superion in general?
Looked pretty good. Not as good as one of the other combiners we're going to be talking about, but it looked good. It looks like a pretty good update. You know, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. They kept Silverbolt as a Concord, which was like, yeah, awesome.
Which is shocking because the Concord's been out of service for like 15 years.
Yeah, so, you know, that was good to see. And, I like it. I'm pleased with it. And, yeah,
now my
good stuff.
My one – this really isn't a concern because I do like the individual robot modes. I like the combined mode. This really isn't a problem I have per se, but I can see it being a problem for some. The original Aerobots, being G1 toys, were very simple. Very simple in design. You basically folded the jet part onto the back of the robot and then unfurled the jet's undercarriage into a robot form.
Right.
And as a result, you basically, as far as Transformers go, they're nobody's favorite because it's not like the jet becomes a robot. It's the jet folds away and then the robot folds out.
Right.
And they faithfully kind of recreated that, obviously using modern toy engineering so that the toys have more articulation, more detail. And they do look very good, but it's still keeping that basic fold the plane onto the robot's back transformation. And I could see that rubbing some people the wrong way, saying, you know, it's 2014, these are going to come out in 2015. But then again, if they tried to reinvent the way the Aerobots looked at that point, they kind of stopped being the Aerobots. So I can kind of see both sides to that argument, but that is something that stuck out to me. I thought someone's going to complain about this.
I have no issue with it. I think it was the right way to go with it. I mean, they're updated enough to look like they've been updated somewhat. They're true enough to their G1 selves to be, you know, obviously a G1 kind of homage, throwback, whatever. And, you know, if you're looking for the aerial bots, then, as you said, to kind of remove that would be, I don't know, a bit weird. Mm-hmm. It might have involved, you know, making changes that otherwise wouldn't needed to have been made. I don't think anything suffers. You know, these toys were good enough back then. If something is good, to me, it's good. You know, what is good does not change. If it's good enough for then, it's good enough for now.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I mean, I know people are like, but whatever. Shut the fuck up. Just buy the damn toys.
Now,
they're awesome.
Now, let's move on to the second combiner revealed Generations. Drum roll, please. Menasor the Stunticons.
Fucking finally.
Now, Jack, I know the Stunticons are on your wish list, and I foolishly said that they didn't have a huge chance of making it, but you know what? I admit it, I was wrong. We're seeing the Stunticons, and congratulations, sir. I know you're a fan of these guys, and even though I was wrong, I can at least get an updated breakdown toy, so, you know, that makes it easier.
Yeah, you know, this is really cool. And, you know, it's this goes back to something that we were talking about many episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
where I was saying that I kind of wonder if Hasbro almost kind of sits back and watches these third-party companies as they, you know, bring out these combiners and this shit that Hasbro themselves wouldn't take a financial risk on.
No, indeed.
And kind of see how they do and then determine accordingly. Because now, you know, you had the Fans Project –
Vans Project Menasor and right. TFC, another third-party company, did their own version of the aerial bots as well.
Right. Yep, and here we are. What do we have? We have Superion and Menasor.
Mm-hmm.
So either they're looking to see if it's financially viable or they're doing their own to say, fuck you to these guys, maybe probably a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But
I do want to say on that front – when the similarities between what Hasbro was releasing, what the third parties were releasing, started to become kind of apparent, you had a lot of people within the Transformers fans, very knowledgeable fans, but I think in this case, the degree of knowledge that they held about the industry kind of made them overthink it. And they were saying, oh no, there's no way, Hasbro doesn't concern themselves with third parties. I think at this point, with Menasor and Superion being announced, and they said 2015 is the year of the combiners, so it's entirely possible they've got more planned. But I think at this point, you cannot deny that Hasbro is aware of what the third-party companies are doing. They're letting the third-party companies take the risk. And then if it looks like that those third-party companies are making decent sales, then it says to them, okay, we can divert our own resources towards these projects. Because I talked about it on the last show, third-party Springer, Generation Springer, third-party Roadbuster, Generations Roadbuster, Aerial Bots, Stunticons. It just seems like that connection can no longer be denied. Hasbro's aware of it, and when they see that something works, they jump on it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just kind of smart business. I mean, because they're like, okay, well, this many collectors were willing to shell out, you know, $600 for this fucking thing.
Imagine how many we can get to shell out for retail.
Right, imagine how many will shell out 60. So, you know, that's smart business, and it's, you know, a smart way to kind of see what the fans want.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously see that the demand is there among the, you know, the collector and the would-be collector market for these, you know, for these toys, and they're doing it. So,
I mean, let's face it. No other franchise has this third-party scene. There aren't third-party G.I. Joe figures. There aren't third-party Marvel figures. There aren't third-party My Little Pony figures or anything like that, right? So, like, the Transformers team on Hasbro is in this unique position where they have this unofficial kind of lab.
Right.
That they could see, they kind of observe, and they could see what works and what doesn't, and then they can say, well, you know, that works. No other team on any other franchise has this. There are no unofficial third-party Star Wars toys or DC toys, but Transformers, there's the third-party Transformers scene, and we're seeing kind of the results of that. A lot of those unofficial third-party combiners, I really like the look of. I just wasn't going to pay that type of money for those figures, but I'll buy these when they are released at retail. And on Menasor himself, like I said, I'm a big Breakdown fan, so I'll get Breakdown. In fact, I'm going to get them all. I'm not just going to get Breakdown and just have him be like a leg. You know, like,
here's my Breakdown leg. Yeah.
I'm gonna get all of these guys. Interestingly, it seems as if there's an unnamed sixth Stunticon. The Stunticons additionally comprise of five, those being Motormaster, Dragstrip, Dead End, Breakdown, and Wild Rider. They've introduced a sixth unnamed guy. Now in this new updated version, he is a small black sports car, transforms into a robot, of course, and on Menasor, he seems to form a chest plate.
Yeah.
I don't mind that so much, really. Like, you know, it's fine. He looks like he belongs. But what's really interesting is that this Menasor, this Motormaster, the centerpiece, Motormaster traditionally transformed into a black and purple semi-truck. He was sort of the prototype Nemesis Prime in that regard.
Yeah.
This toy is actually a repaint of the Voyager Optimus Prime toy that they unveiled at BotCon. So this means, and they show that you can do this in the slideshow, at Hasbro slideshow at San Diego Comic Con, that if you buy that Voyager Optimus Prime that's coming out, you can use that as the centerpiece for the Aerial Bots and kind of create this weird Superion with Optimus Prime in the middle.
Yeah, and that's pretty fucking cool. Or you could create Menasor with Optimus Prime in the middle.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that would work.
Who cares? I mean, physically, you could do it.
I mean, you could do it, but let's, like, is Optimus Prime just going to be like, you all obey me now. My name is Optimus Prime.
He'll be all like, I'm inside you. And then he fucking will be.
No, he'll like walk up to Menasor. He'll be like, give me your face. And then he'll like rip off Motormaster's head. And he'll be like, this is all mine now. I am Optimus Prime. Because that's how Optimus Prime talks. The last thing I really wanted to point out here is, again, on Breakdown. If you look at his car mode, Breakdown's car mode in particular looks very 80s-esque.
Yeah.
He's got it's a very angled, very 1980s-style sports car with the 15 racing across the windscreen, which, in my opinion, is a very, like, that's kind of a very dated in a good way aesthetic. I like it. I like that the one Stunticon I'm most interested in getting is, like, the most visually interesting, at least, so.
Yeah, I like it. Breakdown always kind of had that bit of a, I guess you could say, well, at the time, sort of a Ferrari look to it.
Mm.
Though, in retrospect, it also looks a little bit like a DeLorean in some ways. But, yeah, no, I like it.
And Breakdown was one of my favorites.
Yes, we do. Third parties, make it happen so that Hasbro will then, in turn, make it happen.
Get Christopher Lloyd to voice him.
No.
No?
No.
No. Okay. Moving on then. The Transformers show, the new show dubbed Robots in Disguise, which is still weird for me to think of because Robots in Disguise is the show that happened 13 years ago. But this new show, Transformers Robots in Disguise, we've discussed it on two previous occasions. This is the one where Bumblebee will be taking command of the Autobots, or at least a team of Autobots. And San Diego Comic-Con showed us a what they're calling a first look, a trailer of sorts. There was no dialogue. It was clips from the show with a song put over it. So it was kind of a music video preview kind of thing. But it did give us our first look at the animation. And this is going to sound harsh. I got a bit of an Energon vibe, and that is not a good thing.
I got a little bit of like this Energon and Prime got together and had a baby thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thoughts on it. You know, a lot of people have been bitching about the cell shading. I don't mind that. In fact, I kind of like it. A lot of people have been bitching about the actual animation itself. Again, I don't have an issue with it. I kind of like it.
Well, the cell shading, you know, in all fairness, cell shading's come a long way since 2004 when Energon was on the air.
Yeah. Now, what I didn't like was the transformation sequence that they showed.
With Sideswipe.
Yeah, who also has that goddamn hair that I found to be stupid. Why do robots need hair again?
Well, they gave him robot Super Saiyan hair.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, is this something we need? Like,
to appeal to the kids with the rad haircuts and the...
And that's another thing. I mean, okay, I've seen people on TFW, get over it, Transformers shows are always going to have little kids and humans. Okay, no, I'm not going to get over it, and you shut your goddamn fucking mouth, because do we really need it?
I don't have a problem necessarily with, like, as with anything else, the human characters in a Transformers show are simply a commodity, and how well they play is solely in the hands of the writers. It is entirely possible that with the right writing team, you can make a kid in a Transformers show work. It all comes down to how it's portrayed. So the concept, I've never really come out against the concept because in theory, the concept can work.
Let's not do it, at least for the sake of just doing something that has not been done before.
Well, the Beast Wars series did not have kids.
Okay, well, let's do it in a way that matters.
Okay.
because Beast Wars doesn't.
No,
so,
it doesn't.
I mean,
it really doesn't.
Let's try it again. And those who are Beast Wars fans, you know what? That helps the argument because Beast Wars is widely liked by a lot of people. Me not one of them, but it is liked by a lot of people. So, you know, one of the more successful series did not have any human characters at all. So why do we continually need this? And this kid looks fucking derptastic. I mean,
Well, there was that one derp shot, which is the episode's title card image, as it were.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's fucking hilarious. It's not an actual frame from the trailer. It's one that someone did. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
My whole thing on the kid, and again, this might be unfair. There was no dialogue, so you didn't hear him talk, and you didn't really get any in the way of characterization from him. But from everything I saw, I mean, mostly just his art design, he just looks like the most, like, if you just thought generic kid character, this is the guy who comes to mind. So in that, like, at least Prime's humans had variety. The human kid in animated, as much as I bash on that show, at least the human characters in animated, again, had visual variety, and the main human character was someone who, you know, being a girl and not a boy, was someone who's usually not featured at the forefront, so that was interesting, at least for the sake of discussion. But this kid looks like generic human protagonist number 457.
And speaking of generic,
mm-hmm.
All of the robots have the same fucking body design. Pretty much. I mean, for the most part.
I hadn't noticed it until you brought it up, but yes, they all do the doors on the back as wings thing.
Yeah, doors on the back as wings and like wheels on the shoulders kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a bad design in a vacuum if you use it for a character, maybe even a couple of characters. Mm-hmm. But for all of them, I mean – Watch the fucking trailer. See if you can find one robot that does not have that fucking wings on the back design.
I actually
design.
Did find one, but it doesn't help your case because it doesn't help. Well, it helps your case. It doesn't help the case against it, being that the one that didn't have it was the Minicon. So the only robot who doesn't have that design is the one who doesn't turn into a car.
Right.
So otherwise, yeah, I'm sure they would have found a way to tack door wings onto him.
And this is one of those things where, I don't see how they can not, you know, how someone could not mention this when they're designing these things. You know, why is anyone saying, hey, you know, these all look a little bit kind of samey. Let's vary up the robot designs a little bit here. You know, let's get rid of some of these wings or some shit. And, you know, no one said this. No one, you know, this was not noticed when they were in the conceptual design stages for any of this shit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm also curious about what you didn't like about the sideswipe transformation scene.
It looked really dated. It looked really, I don't know.
That's the part that to me screamed Energon. Because
it did, yeah.
Energon being made at the heyday of robotic Western targeted anime in the early 2000s, liberal use of stock footage for transformations where the background would disappear and then you'd have like Optimus Prime against a field of speed lines. And he'd be like, Optimus Prime, transform! And then, you know, it would show you step by step how he transformed against, like, this field of speed lines. And that's basically what Sideswipe does in this trailer. So, I hope that's not gonna be a thing, because in Energon, it got very tiring. Every time someone transformed to have to go through that same stock sequence. I really hope that doesn't happen here.
Yeah, and if they do, I'm probably just not going to fucking watch this at all. Or wait until someone does an abridged version, which would probably be a lot more interesting. Right, exactly.
We need a good Transformers abridged version. Dr. Smooth is the closest thing we have.
Yeah, that would be a really good thing to see. But yeah, if they're going to do this fucking shit for every robot, every transformation, or even some of them for just transformations that occur in every episode. No. Just no. We don't need that. We don't want that. You know, we're smart enough now to where we know what you're doing. You're saving money by putting in fucking stock footage. Stop being cheap. You know, let's cut the crap.
Mm-hmm. Now, this trailer seems to reinforce the notion that Optimus Prime is dead. Because his Jedi ghost spirit points Bumblebee in the direction of Earth. And that's all the Optimus Prime we get in this. So Optimus Prime seems to be dead. Bumblebee's place in the world really isn't established, so we don't know if he's just the leader of a band of Autobots or if he's the Autobot Supreme Commander. Again, I'm hoping that Ultra Magnus is in charge and Bumblebee is just sort of Invader Zim. Or Ultra Magnus just sends him to Earth to get him out of the way?
That would be nice. Maybe Prime's all like, go here. You can do less damage if you just stay out of the way. I am Optimus Prime. And, you know, if that's what it is, then, you know, awesome. But I really don't care. I mean, in one way, watching this trailer made me feel better about the series, and in watching it made me feel worse about it because of the samey robot designs, the fucking speed line, slow-mo fucking transformation sequence, and the stupid, retarded, unnecessary-looking kid, which the kid being the least offensive. I mean, I'm accustomed to seeing these fucking brats in these shows. And I say brats because normally they just get in the way and like, hi, I'm a human kid and I'm going to be annoying but somehow useful and we're all going to learn a lesson. Shut the fuck up. And yeah, no, before you say, oh, it's a show made for kids, shut your goddamn mouth. Yeah, I get it.
But
I get it.
Kids, you know what attracts kids? Giant robots fighting.
Right, exactly. And that's been the crux of my argument the entire time. You don't need these quote-unquote relatable human characters in your fucking Transformers show. You just don't. I mean, giant robots blowing things up, that's what kids like. You don't need, hey, I can relate to him. No, I never thought as a kid, wow, I can relate to Spike. You know, well, because for one thing, he was a good bit older than I was at that time when that show was being aired.
And two, he always had that hard hat on.
Right, and he had a hard hat on. And, you know, I was just always thinking, you know, how cool Optimus Prime was, or how cool the new Combiner was, or, you know, ooh, Dinobots. You know, wait, why did Wheeljack make him stupid? I don't understand
this. To be authentic, damn it.
Right. Yeah, and you know, it was shit like that. I never cared about the...
Because the real dinosaurs had small brains.
And even as a kid, like, the episodes that I found to be really boring... were like the focus episodes on like Spike and Bumblebee as they were going out having adventures.
Spike and Bumblebee, we're small, but we can still have adventures.
Right, and those were always so fucking boring.
Oh no, Megatron kidnapped us and now Optimus Prime has to save us because we're useless.
And like, even as a kid, I mean, you know, kids, they don't bite onto this shit the way Hasbro seems to think they do, I don't think. Again, giant robots. You don't need any more kid appeal.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, Robots in Disguise, the new show, that trailer wasn't the only thing related to it shown. The toy line was also unveiled. Now, the full toy line wasn't, but three figures were. It seems that this toy line will feature deluxe classes being deemed warriors in this new line, and then the Legion class, which is the standard Legends class, the, you know, the small, $5 to $10 one. We've gotten two Legion class reveals, an Optimus Prime toy, and a, who's being deemed Strong Arm, who seems to be a new character created for the show. And then there is the Warrior, the Deluxe Class Bumblebee, because, Lord, we need more Deluxe Class Bumblebees.
Yeah, no.
To just throw onto the pile.
Yeah, we totally do. We really do.
You know, Toys R Us was calling Hasbro and be like, we're running out of Bumblebees, send more!
Yeah,
Your thoughts and what you see here. Now, again, this isn't going to be the full line. Obviously, these are just three figures. But what stands out to you looking at this?
So why the fuck is Bumblebee the only big one?
Well, again, this isn't the full line. So I suspect that we'll probably get bigger versions of Strong Arm and Optimus Prime.
I know. Bumblebee, I mean, I like his new design, actually, at least car-wise. Robot wise, yeah, it looks pretty solid actually. I do kind of like it. The sword is a nice touch.
It's not a weapon you usually associate with Bumblebee.
No. The texturing on the paint looks a little weird.
Well, these could be hand painted models.
It does kind of look like they are.
Probably hand painted models, and that the production runs will look a lot smoother.
Well, I actually kind of like the textured matte look, but maybe that's just me. Optimus Prime, he looks like he's wearing fucking boot jeans. No, he fucking does. He looks like he's wearing like boot cut jeans with fucking boot toes poking out from underneath him.
My name is Optimus Prime, and I wear Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans.
Strong arm, I mean, she looks kind of like just your generic truck bot, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of got like the samurai thing going on her head, which is kind of weird.
Do you think she's related to Movie Drift?
Maybe. Possibly.
Or you could just buy Strong Arm and Movie Drift and have your very small samurai themed Transformers collection. But, the first thing that stands out in my mind is that simple faction symbols seem to have been done away with in favor of this new logo.
Almost like a seal kind of a thing.
Yeah, in the trailer for Transformers Robots in Disguise, it ended with the show's logo, which is the new Transformers Impact fonted logo that they rolled out for Age of Extinction. And they had the Autobot logo placed in this sort of round seal, this round mechanical seal sort of, kind of like a manhole cover almost. But in the show, everyone's just wearing standard Autobot or Decepticon emblems. But it seems for the toys, at least in these hand-painted preview models, they're using that full manhole cover seal emblem. So, you know, Optimus Prime doesn't just have the Autobot emblem on his shoulder, he's got the Autobot emblem inside of the seal on his shoulder. And it's a weird design choice. Like, it doesn't turn me off to them, but it's kind of like, eh? Really?
It makes you think, why?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not offensive, it's like, oh my god, this looks horrible. It's like, okay, well, why are we doing this again?
I can tell you why. Because, starting with Transformers 4, Hasbro has launched a two-pronged, branding initiative. The current media toys will be aimed at kids. So, like, the Transformers 4 toys, for the most part, those one-step and three-step ones aimed at kids. And then when Transformers 4 dies down, then they're gonna bring in, Robots in Disguise. And it will be aimed at kids. Generations will be aimed at collectors and older fans. So, my theory is that this seal variation on the Autobot logo and the Decepticon logo, I assume, will get the same treatment. Only Autobots have been shown so far. My theory is that they're saying, well, this is the toy line intended for kids. Generations is the line intended for adults and older kids. So the seal, you know, kids will see the seal and say, oh, that's for the younger crowd. That's for the kids. It's coding for the kids and parents to know that these are the Transformers for the younger crowd. At least that's
They're overthinking it. That's what they're doing. They're way overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should be able to tell. I mean, you can pretty much tell by the design of the fucking things, mm-hmm. you know, who they're meant for. Now, actually, again, you know, with this Bumblebee, and I hate to say good things about a Bumblebee, mm-hmm. but I do really like it. It looks cool. It looks kind of like, in terms of his transformation, it looks like it wouldn't be too hard, but not, one pump chump retardedly easy either.
Now, they are coming out with one-step transformation changers for Prime, but they look like a mix of new molds and repaints from the Dark of the Moon one-step transformation Age of Extinction one-step transformation figures.
Right.
Those are staying around. I'm not a fan of them. I don't buy them. I don't have any plans to buy them, but I suspect that they're doing well enough to continue justify keeping them around in the new RID line. Yeah, I mean, Bumblebee looks fine. I'm not a fan of Bumblebee's head design. I think he could use some G1-style horns to just make him look more Bumblebee-esque.
I don't know. I think those wouldn't work on this. I do like the head sculpt. See, I didn't even like the horns on G1 Bumblebee. They never really kind of made sense to me. It's like, you know, you have all these other Autobots, and even on Decepticon side, you know, and there was a certain kind of a format to the head designs. With Wheeljack being kind of an exception, he was always kind of like, whoa, what? He had his own thing going on. But, you know, Bumblebee and Cliffjumper with the fucking horns on the head, it never made sense to me. I always kind of wondered, like, why do they have horns? What? Some kind of fucking Viking thing? But no, there wasn't a Viking theme there. They were just, hey, I'm Bumblebee and I've got horns on my head. I have a horny head. Giggity. I don't know. I like it. That's just me, though.
What I really like, and again, this is the smaller version, I really like the design of this Optimus Prime, actually. And I'm not going to get this because it's a small Legends figure, but if they come out with, like, a Voyager-sized version of this design, I'd consider getting it.
His arms look like cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, but again, that's because of the smaller size.
Right,
but
I get it.
So I'm not saying I want this particular one, but I'm just envisioning this general design blown up with more, you know, with more engineering and more articulation built in. Like a larger version of this general concept.
And maybe a different pair of pants.
Nah, he's got to keep his Wrangler. His Wranglers. Optimus Prime, and you know, after Brett Favre had that whole texting a picture of his dick to someone incident, Wrangler was looking for a new spokesman, and Optimus Prime was available, so there you are.
Well, as long as no one gives Optimus Prime a cell phone, we should be good. Give me your face!
God.
Oh no!
God. Well, on that note, I think we've exhausted the
bounds of decency.
The bounds of decency and the robots in disguise discussion. With that, our San Diego Comic-Con discussion comes to a close. We were talking about having a section based on nation states, national role play. Unfortunately, weren't able to work it in this episode as Comic-Con sort of took up everything. But in the coming weeks, we hope to have that nation-states discussion. I'm looking forward to it. I've got a great affinity for that game, so.
Yeah, if you're wondering what the fuck is nation-states, as I'm sure pretty much 99.9% of you are, we'll explain. Don't worry, just not tonight. We meant to get to it, but shit. You know, we started bloviating as we normally do, so here we are.
Well, Comic-Con happened, and, you know. But on that note, episode 25 wrapping up. You can catch us on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube. Catch us in the video discussion subforum at TFW 2005. Under the lounge subforum at sportslogos.net. Not to mention the Taijitu Forum for Nation States. You can also catch us on email at basicallygeekshow@gmail.com. You can catch us on Twitter at @ageekshow. And that should be it for the plugs. So episode 25, coming to a close. For Jack, this is Mike signing off.
Good night, everybody.
Try again.